This is I Made This, episode 4 with Alicia Patinsky. I'm Alyssa Tebow, and this is I Made This, the podcast. Right now, there are so many weird and wonderful ways to make money by doing what you love. We can create jobs, businesses, and even lifestyles. Come with me as I speak to some of the most ambitious, passionate, and dedicated people who are turning these dreams into reality, and they're making a living from it. How are they doing it? How did they get there? Well, let's find out. Well, I am so excited for you to hear this conversation with my guest today, Alicia Patinsky. Now, I heard about Alicia's story through a networking group here in Vancouver, and I was instantly intrigued. She's a body image coach, so she works with people to improve the way they think about themselves and their bodies, which is just an incredibly important fundamental of mental wellness and just happiness in general. Now, Alicia was always big into fitness and diet, but she wasn't always the picture of health that she is today. Through her younger years, she struggled through alcohol abuse and excessive dieting and exercise, and it then intensified into her 20s to the point where she ended up with orthorexia. Now, that's essentially a self-punishing relationship with food. At one point, she was pretty much only eating beef, kale, and coconut water. She ended up making herself so sick that she met the criteria for anorexia. One day, something snapped and she had a breakdown in the street. And this was when she decided that she was going to turn things around. Alicia went and studied NLP, or neuro-linguistic programming, to learn about brain behavior and also coaching. And she eventually found that her story was a really powerful tool that would allow her to help others. Today, she runs her own business in Vancouver, but has also learned what she needs to do for herself to really fire on all cylinders. Her recovery didn't happen in the space of weeks or months. It took years, and she's found ways to maintain that healthy balance. As you can imagine, we go pretty deep, and you'll probably find yourself nodding along and relating to a lot of what she has today, because that's exactly what I did. So here it is, my conversation with Alicia Patinsky. And Alicia Patinsky, welcome to I Made This, the podcast. Where am I finding you today?
Currently, I'm at my home office here in beautiful Vancouver.
Now, I first read about your story through a networking group here in Vancouver, and I just found it fascinating. So from where you are now, the journey for you to get there has been quite incredible. So you were involved in dance at a very young age, and that really played on your body image and how you looked at your body. And then tell us what happened after that.
Well, yes, as you said, as a child dancer, I had really negative body image from the age of 4 onward. I was negative self-talking in regards to my body every day for years. And from there, when I was a teenage dancer, I developed an eating disorder for, I would say, about 3 years. There was disordered eating. And then I didn't have any professional help at that period of time. And I moved on from it. But then into my 20s, I battled alcohol abuse off and on for years. And so obviously, there were underlying emotional issues that I was suffocating with alcohol and numbing myself through that period of time. And I was always a dancer and an athlete growing up and in my early 20s. And there was a period of time in my mid-20s where the partying really took over and I wasn't going to the gym anymore. And, you know, finally, after a couple years of that, I realized that I needed to make some lifestyle changes. And so I started to go to the gym. I started to focus on my fitness, and there were so many positive benefits to that. But I never looked at the most important part of my health being my mental and emotional health. So I was like, okay, I'm going to substitute these problems that I'm having with fitness. And I developed an eating disorder through that. I battled an eating disorder called orthorexia, which is known as the clean eating disorder. This is when the intention to eat healthy becomes so extreme that it is in fact unhealthy. And then things just kept getting worse for me as time went on with that. The hardest thing about orthorexia, and I think this is really important for society to know because we're constantly bombarded with different diets, is the person suffering often doesn't realize that they have an eating disorder because they're just convinced that they are super duper healthy. So, you know, the foods that I considered to be unhealthy and bad kept growing and growing and growing to the point where I was only eating five things and I was not eating very many calories.
What were those five things?
I was eating kale, spinach, beef, because I was obsessed with the paleo dieting mentality, and coconut water, I think, was the other thing. Maybe I was only eating four things, consuming four things at that.
And that was it.
Yeah, that was it for that stretch of time. And I think that I was eating, I don't know, maybe 800 calories a day. And
wow.
So many health issues.
So when you were going through this, did you ever acknowledge that you had orthorexia or that something was wrong?
Well, it's interesting because I didn't know what orthorexia was. Mm. And I knew there was something wrong. I was in an online group for fitness enthusiasts that was all about holding each other accountable, but the dieting protocols were super strict. Like they were, you know, grain free, low carb. You know, we can only eat natural whole foods, you know, like really no leeway. And initially I thought that it was kind of weird. Like I was like, these people are really strict. Like this seems a little bizarre. And I didn't follow the protocols as strictly as some of them did in the beginning. But then it just got, you know, the influence from the group really, really took over my own inner wants and desires when it came to food. And then I just kept whittling down that food list and falling deeper and deeper into it. And there was a day where I really just, you know, had an emotional breakdown and realized that like something was wrong. And I was like, I have an eating disorder. And I didn't really know what it was because I was like, is this anorexia? What is this? And then it was in my time of acknowledging that I had an eating disorder and I was seeing a counselor, but I was also doing a lot of self-development on my own and research on my own. And I came across a video about eating disorders and orthorexia was mentioned in it. And I thought, oh, well, that makes sense. And then I started to hear about it a little bit more. It's still not that well known. It's something I'm really passionate about building awareness of, because like I said before, there are so many diets out there right now that are not healthy. And the people who are, you know, taking part in them and promoting them are like, oh, this is so healthy. I'm doing all these great things for myself. But, you know, actually, they're malnourishment.
Yeah. So tell me about this day that you say you had the emotional breakdown. What happened there?
Well, specifically, I don't even remember what happened. I was in such a daze, like I was starving, so I wasn't thinking straight. And someone said something to me that just really hit me the wrong way. And I took it so personally and I couldn't control myself. And I was crying and crying. And then I got myself together and I was walking from my workplace to my home. And on the street, I just lost it. And I had a huge breakdown and was like, I can't keep living like this, you know, like it's an aha moment. And recovery from anything, any adversity, there's going to be aha moments along the way that just shake you. And, you know, you realize you have to change your perception and do something to forge forward.
That's quite a powerful image that I'm seeing at the moment, because you're quite a tiny little thing. I'm just picturing this small woman just having this breakdown on the street. And so you got yourself home.
Yeah.
And then what happened next?
Well, from there, that had been a really restrictive phase. And a side effect of restrictive eating is binge eating, because it's a psychological and a physiological urge. When our bodies have been starving, let's say you and I were, you know, we were shipwrecked or something, right? Like, I'm trying to think.
Okay. This could be fun. Okay. Where are we? This sounds fun.
But if you and I were, you know, shipwrecked and we were out at sea for a couple of days and we finally made our way back to shore,
okay,
we'd be so hungry that we would go straight to a restaurant and eat a meal, like, you know, physiologically.
Oh goodness, I probably would eat everything at the restaurant.
Yeah, we'd be like, okay, we have to go eat like a burger and fries now, mm-hmm, for 2 days, and give me a milkshake with that or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And it was like, I don't know, there was this other time, something that I took personally triggered it again, because I was so sensitive. And, you know, when you're in that state, you're not connected with yourself, therefore you're not connected with the world around you. So it's quite easy to allow your ego to become triggered by outside factors. And it was, again, it was something else that I really took personally. And rather than going home, I was at some sort of social setting, which was bizarre for me at that time because I was so isolated. I had like social anxiety, but I went to a grocery store and I bought a bag of dark chocolate covered almonds, and I bought some banana chips because those were like whole food acceptable, like stuff. And then I binged on them, and then I battled yo-yo dieting after that. Like, I, you know, on a Monday I'd be eating fish and salad, and then come Friday I'd have some sort of cheat meal, and then like I'd eat other things over the weekend and feel horrible about myself. I'd be like, you know, drowning in guilt, shame, and remorse. And yeah, then on Monday felt that I had to rectify it by going on a fish and veggie plan for myself again, you know. And it was, yeah, just this yo-yoing. I was getting counseling. I was really proactive with that, because I didn't want to live that way, and I knew that. I was like, I don't want this. And so I was having the counseling, and as time went on, obviously working on myself. And then I got to a point where I could help others, but there was a whole bunch of you know, physical issues that I was dealing with. I had amenorrhea for about 2.5 years. My loss of period.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't.
That's amazing. You don't think about what you do to your body and what effect that can have on your health.
Yeah, totally. And like, I had my gut healed, with traditional Chinese medicine and naturopathic medicine. And, that was part of the journey. I studied NLP in Toronto, which is what I use in my life coaching, but it was also very transformational for me to be doing that, in an intensive format. So that was just absolutely wonderful. And anytime I feel, even now that I'm recovered, anytime I feel that another, emotional guidance professional would be, of help to me, I always ask for insight from other people, because I truly believe that we are always continuing to grow as human beings. And, health is not just about what we eat and how we exercise. It's so much deeper than that. We've got to think about, the emotional and spiritual, connection that we have with ourselves.
Mm. Now, you say that you're recovered now. So how long ago was this, from the point of almost breakdown to bring yourself back to a point where you say that you feel good again?
Well, I mean, there's different phases of recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the physical issues that I experienced after, I felt, you know, emotionally and mentally okay, occurred after. And so like, it would be a couple of years, like 2 or 3 years, I guess, that I've, mm-hmm, been like fully recovered physically, mm-hmm, as well.
I can't even imagine how drained you must have felt. I know that if I get hungry, I can't focus. So, mm-hmm, like, I just imagine you would be in this constant state of haze. Were you working through all of this?
Yeah. I was working part-time. I couldn't work full-time, but I couldn't not work because I couldn't support myself otherwise. Mm. So there were times that were just brutal. Like, I don't even, it's indescribable what it feels like to be in the depths of an eating disorder and, you know, going, I was personal training at the time. So, you know, trying to motivate other people through that. And the thing that's scary about that is that so many personal trainers and health coaches develop orthorexia because it's the like healthy, clean eating disorder. So there are a lot of health and fitness professionals who are struggling with that.
Yeah. So once you'd made the connection about the condition that you'd found yourself in, did you go and study after that? Was that the next phase?
NLP came long after I had done a lot of counseling and was feeling okay on my own for a good significant period of time.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I studied that with the intention of becoming a life coach.
Could you remember a moment when you were doing all this, the self-work that you thought that you could help others through this?
It was when I had a couple personal training clients who started talking to me about their food and body image issues. Mm. And they said that my insight was really helpful to them. Mm. And I'm a highly intuitive person and extremely empathetic. So these are very, very helpful skills for a coach of any kind, because you can really connect with the people you're working with. And just that, you know, desire to make a change in the health and fitness industry, because exercise coaching is wonderful and it's really rewarding and something that I am passionate about, but emotional and spiritual wellness and helping people connect with their highest selves just sets my soul on fire.
Yeah.
It is absolutely beautiful to help people make profound change from the inside out.
And where do you think that came from, that desire to connect to people like that?
Well, I know what it feels like to be in that really dark place and what it feels like to actually bring that darkness to the surface so that you can feel the light in your life and feel a like high sense of connection to life. And I'm passionate about sharing that with other people, because no one deserves to live with food and body image issues hindering their, you know, their happiness.
Mm. Now let's talk about the business side of this now, because now you've got a few clients and you run a network. How did that come about?
Well, it was the coaching industry in general is relatively new when we look back at the history of work. And so it was meeting other life coaches and seeing that this was something that was growing and learning about how to get involved. And, you know, from there, this particular niche serving fitness enthusiasts and athletes with these issues, it's needed. And so it all just came about as like, almost like it was just aligned.
Mm.
Like, I went through hell for a reason.
Right? That's what I'm thinking through this whole thing. Cause it sounds like you are now somewhere where you were always supposed to be, but to get there, you have had a shit run, you know, just put your body through such extremes. And but you know, you've come out of the other side with just such clarity and understanding of how the body works, how the mind works, how the spiritual realm works. Like, do you sometimes sit back and it seems crazy because of what you went through, but do you ever sit back and just say, you know what, this all happened for a reason?
Yes. And I do believe that everything happens for a reason, and we meet the people in our lives that we do for a reason. Everyone that you meet will teach you something, and everything that you go through is set out to help you become stronger. And this was, I mean, I don't put myself in the shoes of Alicia with an eating disorder very often. Mm-hmm. But every once in a while, if I'm having a conversation about it or if something comes up and I think back to it, it's like, it's unbelievable to me, but I can still remember what that was like and just think like, oh my goodness. And then I end up like, you know, just feeling really, really shaken by it. And then, you know, I feel that pain and then I move on from it again, which is something that we have to do to overcome any type of adversity too, is like, you know, feeling our pain and making sense of it. We always see a lot of stuff on social media that's not always positive. And one of the things that I think is, you know, just misguided is that people always say, just think positively, just slap a smile on your face and think positively. But there's a negative side to positive thinking if it's inauthentic. And, you know, if we are just numbing feelings and putting on fake smiles, then we're not resolving anything. We're not healing anything.
Mm. And that's a lot of the work that you do with your clients as well, isn't it? You kind of make them understand the emotion that they're going through.
Absolutely. And I love to do this with conversations and just asking questions to get them to think more about how they're truly feeling about something, doing some NLP exercises and journaling exercises. I like to use music therapy as well. So if I know that a client's working through a certain emotion, I'll say, okay, so let's just sit with guilt and feel guilt and listen to this song while you do it. And don't hold back. Let that emotion come to the surface.
Because now I'm picturing, you know, when you go through a breakup and you want to listen to sad songs because you want to feel sad for a period of time. Is that kind of the similar mindset that you go into that with?
Yeah, that's an interesting way to describe it, but it's true because, you know, when we suppress emotion, you know, we're not really dealing with our problems. We're just suppressing them. So, you know, that expression, when you resist, it will persist. So if there are musical cues that will bring tears to the surface, whether it be a breakup or overcoming an eating disorder, then like, yeah, I think that it's so helpful for people.
Yeah, I know it certainly helped me through some of those times.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. So going from, so you were studying NLP and coaching and things like that. Mm-hmm. And obviously the end goal was always to run a business from that. How did you go about setting all that up and taking the leap to being able to work for yourself and things like that?
Well, it was interesting because I had a major setback at one point when I was going through my naturopathic treatment, and it was just, you know, that period of time was pretty challenging because traditional Chinese medicine isn't like, you don't take a pill and just feel better. Like, that's another thing where you get to feel your pain and really, you know, go through the whole healing process. And so at that point, like, I couldn't start a business. Like, I couldn't just, but, you know, I would do little things. I would do little things. Like, I think I might've had a client, you know, but I was like working on the branding at that period of time and just doing a few things quietly. And I put my health first in my journey. So I always remind myself of that and that I'm kind to myself along the way. When I had setbacks, it was okay. It was actually an opportunity for me to learn about how to overcome various setbacks so that I could be a better coach to my clients in the long run.
And what do you mean by a setback?
Like physical setbacks. Like, I had to undergo 8 months of traditional Chinese medicine at one point to heal my body.
Wow.
And so, you know, you can't really start a business.
No.
Sometimes I feel like, you know, maybe I'm taking on too much right now and I need to spend some more downtime doing other things right now and not business planning. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know? So I would just take it as it came. And as of recently, growth has been just wonderful with waitlists, and I'm feeling really positive and engaged in the business. And I'm so thankful that I can do this now. And I'm inspired by my clients every day.
And it's quite amazing too, that through this experience, you've been able to recognize and set your own boundaries as well. Because I know when people are first starting out their businesses, and they, so many people that I speak to that are entrepreneurs, et cetera, that say that they don't get enough sleep. They don't get enough time with their family. They don't eat properly. They do all this because they're sacrificing little things in their lives to be able to, they're throwing everything at this business.
Yeah.
And it's really, I think it's really a skill to be able to get to a point where you're like, you know what? I need to do this, and I need to do this for me. Otherwise I can't operate properly.
Absolutely. I read a Coaching for Coaches manual maybe several months ago or a year ago. And rule number one was prioritize your own self-care first, because if you're coaching other people to find more balance in their lives, then you must lead by example. And I live by that rule. I absolutely want to show by example to the people that I'm working with that you can live a peaceful life. You can live a fulfilling and purposeful and peaceful life.
And when I met with you, we were talking through, you know, how you put this all together. You really got a lot of people to help you through this process as well.
Yeah, I've been so fortunate and so blessed to meet the people that I have. I figured that because my recovery was so holistic, that the process of building the business would come together organically, and that I'm always in the right place at the right time, and I'm just going to do what I can do and help people along the way.
It's such an amazing transformation. I feel like I could just sit with you and talk about this for hours. I mean, when you look back now and at the journey that you went through, like, can you even believe that it happened?
Sometimes it seems just crazy. But then when I'm with my clients and I know exactly what's going on with them, and I'm able to really pinpoint which emotions they're struggling with and why. And, you know, NLP is all about studying the subconscious mind. And so it's just amazing when you can guide other people through this. And then it's like, oh yeah, everything I went through seems very real, because, you know, here with others. And so, you know, I am reminded of that. That's for sure.
Yeah. So if anybody wants to get in contact with you or follow along with your journey, where can we find you?
You can find me on Instagram, Waitlist Alicia, and that's Alicia, Alicia. Mm-hmm. And then my website is youarewaitlist.com. And there is a Waitlist Body Confidence Coaching Facebook page as well. Mm-hmm. So that's where we're at. And I have recently started a really mini podcast. It's available on iTunes. It's called You Are Waitlist. And it's just 5-minute blurbs. But yeah.
Oh, nice. So are they, you know, daily ones or weekly or?
Yeah, like I just started it. So I think maybe a couple a week would be reasonable.
Yeah. Just a little pick me up in the morning.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah. I meant to ask you about your Instagram as well, because you have been quite vulnerable in promoting your story on social media as well.
Yes.
What was that like? Because I mean, from the other side, when you read through social media and somebody posts something extremely brave, you know, that's really about their journey and it's very vulnerable. What's that like being on the other side when you are about to post something and you're about to get all this feedback? What's that emotion like?
Well, now it's easy, but yeah. now it's like whatever. But in the beginning, the first time I put up a post that said that I had an eating disorder, I was going crazy on the other end. I remember doing a Facebook post, sharing a blog that someone else had posted about my eating disorder. And that's Facebook, where it's people that you've known from not just family and friends, but people from college. And you know what Facebook's like. It's just like everyone you know.
Everyone you know is on there. Yeah. I know what everybody is doing.
I was like, yeah. I just told everybody that I know that I have been recovering from an eating disorder, and I didn't check Facebook again until the next afternoon. Like, I was just like, and I'm not going to look at it. I'm not going to see if anybody's commented. And then I checked, and a good friend of mine, he was like, the feedback is beautiful, so you have nothing to worry about there. But I, I did that. And then same with Instagram. The first time I put up an Instagram post that was said something about it, I was like, you know, shaking on the other end of my iPhone. But it gets easier. And the way I look at it too is telling your story will help others. So there's a big eating disorder recovery community on Instagram, and there are tons of people who are telling their story in different ways. Some people just post food and then just write how they're feeling that day in the caption. Other people do show themselves in their on their pages, and it just really depends. And I feel like if you're currently going through something and you want to share, it's nice to build that community with other people. For those who aren't comfortable sharing, that's totally fine too. We're all different, but at least those people can find inspiration in others. And for those of us who have recovered, we can tell our stories so that those who are currently going through this adversity will see that recovery is possible.
That's amazing. You just bring such a great energy to whatever you do now. I'd love it. So for anybody that's might be going through something that's quite tough at the moment, and they're trying to get to the other side, or they're trying to achieve something that right now doesn't 100% look possible, what would be your advice to them?
Well, first and foremost, reach out and ask for help. You know, mm-hmm. None of us have it all figured out. I have worked with like the eating disorder recovery and personal development. I worked with a counselor. I worked with nutrition coaches. I worked with a physiotherapist. I worked with two personal trainers I was a personal trainer too, but they checked my form for me when I was getting back into exercise. Nutrition coaches, and like massage therapy. And even now I go to intuitive energy clearing therapy because I just find that it is so wonderful to keep working on yourself. So there's nothing wrong with asking for help from other people.
Yeah.
It's crucial in life. We learn something from everybody. And, another part of the whole equation is just like being kind to yourself. Like if you're in point A and it's really scary and it's really frightening, and point B and C and D and everything ahead looks like you'll never get there, you just take it one day at a time and keep working at it. There's so much that we can say about when we look at our lives and we're not happy with where we are. You're the solution to the problem. It's within you. We all have the power to change. It's a matter of deciding that we want to.
Oh, I could just listen to you for hours. I love the insight and the knowledge and the passion that you bring to everything that you talk about. And I find it so inspiring.
Thank you so much.
I have thoroughly enjoyed having you on today. I'm just so grateful that you agreed to come on and share your story, and I'm so glad that you did.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's been such an honor to be here talking with you.
I'll check in with you again and see the next phase of your life. I can't wait.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thanks, Alicia. Bye.
Bye.
To make sure you get the next episode of I Made This, hit subscribe on your podcast app. And if you know of someone who would love this episode or this series, please tell them about it. All the info you can find at the website, imadethispodcast, all one word, .com.